Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's Christmas time at a bar in Toronto. Julia is a young woman sitting in her usual spot, trying to forget her own tragic history. She chats with the usual suspects, strange men trying to hit on her, and women looking for a shoulder to cry on. But what she doesn't realize is many of these strangers she talks to each night are actually the same person. Drew suffers from a bizarre illness, and the only way he can survive is to refresh his body by inhabiting a new one until it's worn out and he moves on to the next. Can Drew tell Julia the truth and convince her to accept his unusual lifestyle? Or is that just too big a change for both of them? Life Changer is a new fantasy horror movie that will keep you guessing to the end. It's written and directed by movie mover and shaker Justin McConnell, who I interviewed about 5 years ago about his documentary Skull World. Life Changer has won multiple awards at international film festival circuit across North America, around the world too?
Around the world.
And around the world. It co-stars Jack Foley as a romantic lead character who is also a man with a secret. The film opens today in Toronto, and I'm very pleased to have here in studio actor, model Jack Foley and writer-director Justin McConnell to tell us more about Life Changer.
Hey, Daniel. How you doing?
Hi, Justin.
Thanks for having us.
Nice to see you again, Justin. And Jack, thanks for coming in. Nice to meet you.
My pleasure.
Okay, Justin. Is Drew, the entity, the main character, is he a good person or a bad person?
How did I know you were going to lead with that? First of all, I really like your preamble. You made it sound like it's like a Waiting Godot version of a horror movie, which is, I guess, close. I don't know. I don't think Drew is either a good or a bad person. I think he's a sick person and somebody that has a certain degree of morality that has built up over a lifetime. But because he's inhabited by the memories of dozens and dozens of people over his life, all sort of warring for control in his own mind, he's something that I think Jack has said in the past, morally inept. He is somebody who does a lot of bad things thinking that it's for survival and maybe not exactly realizing the damage he's causing in his wake. He's definitely not a good person, but he doesn't believe he's a bad person. So I think that makes him a really interesting villain.
Is he a person?
Well, he was born thinking he was a person. I think he's... I mean, I don't want to.
No spoiler.
I don't want to give away the entomology of what he is, but he
That comes later.
So, yeah, but he.
You can say maybe.
Maybe I'd say that he's a very humanistic monster. He's a very human type of monster, almost like the universal monsters of old. You identify with his plight in a human sort of way.
Very much so. Jack Foley, this is one of your first film roles. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was my second, actually.
And I understand you've only been an actor for fairly recently, right?
Yeah, it's been pushing 2 years now.
So what made the change that brought you to be an actor, and from there, what brought you to this role?
The acting came from modeling.
So where did the modeling come from? Let's start with that.
Yeah, the modeling's about 2.5 years old. It's funny, you grow your hair out and you grow a beard and all of a sudden everybody wants to take your picture.
It's true.
Case in point.
Yes.
I met a great photographer named David Lays, who is a friend of mine, and he took some pictures of me and he actually forwarded it to some agencies. And I signed with a modeling agency. They asked me, do you want to do commercials? I said, yeah, sure, I'll give it a shot. Did a commercial, did a couple of good commercials. They turned around, they said, we didn't know you could act. My response was, neither did I. And then I kind of got the bug. So I met with Amanda Rosenthal from the art agency and signed with Emily, my agent there. And I went, I guess, right from there to the first film that I did, which was Fugue. And not even a month and a half later, I was sitting in front of Justin, and he's looking at me like, I don't think you're the guy, but I will work with you in the future one day.
Who's the guy?
I didn't think I was, but I did say that I would, after meeting with Justin, that okay, I'm going to work with this guy. I know, I've got a feeling, but I'm not the guy for this part. And sure enough, I ended up getting the part.
And you've blown up a bit since then. You're in commercials. You're in Drake's new video. You're in Drake's new video.
Yeah.
Wow. He fits Drake for a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were Fashion Santa, Yorkdale's Fashion Santa last year, right?
Oh.
Yeah. You're the famous from Yorkdale Mall.
So.
Are you?
No. Yeah, he is from last year.
Oh.
Yeah, from 2017. It was offered to me. My agent actually said, don't do it, because they had the original gentleman, Paul Mason, did it for the first 2 years. Then they had another guy come in. He was basically lambasted on social media. Great guy, Adam. So when it was offered to me, my agent said, don't take it. You know, they'll crucify you on social media. I don't care. I took the money they gave me and I donated it to Sick Kids Hospital. My agent donated it to Sick Kids Hospital and Yorkdale did as well. So I figured, okay, something good comes from it. And if anybody had a problem with it, we didn't care.
You went viral, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You were huge. You were huge.
the Santa thing was, the Fashion Santa thing was, I found that it didn't really help my social media too much because Paul owns that. Like, that's his thing. The big thing with the social media was that list of the top 10 guys over 50 that kind of went viral, and that really blew my social media up, which is kind of funny. And we get a good laugh out of it because
well, there's a Reddit I don't want to go too deep into this, but there's a Reddit where people can compare you to King Midas or the Little Mermaid or something like that. That went really, really huge. The funny thing is, the day you did the Santa thing at Yorkdale, the day before that we shot the scene where Jack was cutting up the bodies in the bathtub with a hacksaw,
right?
So I just think that there's a really funny dichotomy there.
Yeah.
So speaking of cutting bodies with
hacksaw, I immediately thought of, well, the alleged serial killer in Toronto.
Sure.
As well as Picton in BC, both of whom are notorious Canadians who killed lots of people and buried them.
Yes.
Or just put them on a farm, because this is a...
It is something from the film. Yes.
Yeah.
And part of that was inspiration, and part of it is just... when you're writing something, you kind of have to go deep into, okay, if I was this guy, how would I make sure I don't get caught over this period of time? And, you know, I grew up watching serial killer films. I've read books. And it's like, how did these guys get away with it for so long? So in being a writer, I'm also researching how to be a good serial killer. So that ended up in the film. I'm not saying that I'm never going to go that way, but I definitely.
You're not saying you're never going to go that way?
No. Did I double negative? Yes. I'm saying I'm never going to go that way.
Good.
Sorry. I'm not double negative. That was a double negative and a weird one.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. But I, in order to be able to write it, I need to know it. And absolutely. That's where that came from.
Yeah, it definitely takes you to some dark places in order to to achieve, the end goal, which is, at the end of the day, we know it's science fiction, we know it's horror, but you're still trying to portray, there's some realism in, like, how would this really happen if this existed?
To some degree, this heightened sort of way.
So I want to talk about, like, I'm trying to place the genre. Is this there's like...
Good luck.
Yeah.
It's a love story.
Terminator would be Shapeshifter, but movies like Invasion of the Body Snatcher and It Follows.
The Hidden.
Maybe.
We can go back to Fallen, The First Power.
Except this one has a sympathetic...
Yes.
Main character.
It's the thing from the perspective of the creature.
That's right.
And like, how would that thing's thought process be? Now, the creature from the thing is way more alien, so it doesn't have a human sort of point of view. This creature was born human and lived a very human childhood. So in a lot of ways, he's approaching life from a wanting things that anybody would want from life. And not trying to be a bad person and not trying to be a killer, but has to out of necessity, or feels like they have to out of necessity. And I think that's what makes it stand out. As per genre, I mean, I consider horror to be a big umbrella, a catch-all that you can tell a lot of different stories under. So at its core, it's a horror film, but it's also a relationship drama.
That's right.
I would say it's a love story, but it's, in my mind, it's much more of an obsession story.
Yeah.
It's a stalking as love story, more so than an actual love story. He's in love. She doesn't know he exists. So it's kind of hard to...
It's also almost a Groundhog Day.
Almost. Yeah, a little
bit. He keeps going through the same
routine, but for her,
yeah,
like she might click onto it, but not completely.
Yeah, and you know, there's a little sci-fi in there. It's built more like a thriller.
I would say fantasy as
yeah,
well.
Fantasy. It's built more like a thriller. It's almost like a serial killer trying to elude the police kind of movie without too much police presence. And it's a lot of different things at once. And I think that might be part of the reason that it's just hard to place.
It's definitely hard to pigeonhole. And I think that's one of the things that's endearing about it is the fact that you can't just put it into this little cubby and say, this is where this belongs, and it can't be outside of this genre. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's gotten so many awards and so much recognition is the fact that
a lot of festivals. It's so
it has been in a bunch of different types of festivals, and it's been widely accepted by different groups and genres.
Mm-hmm. So this isn't a spoiler since you reveal this in the very first scene, but I wonder if you could describe for the listeners the unusual way he Drew replaces his victims.
Sure. It's
not the way it normally goes.
No, I mean, there are films in the past that sort of touch on something similar, like Toby Hooper's Life Force is a good one.
Yeah.
But
and I think there is something on X-File.
And there might maybe, somewhat. But in this case, Drew basically, once the rot begins, once the body starts falling apart, he's able to grab somebody and suck their entire essence from them and leave them as a withered, dried up husk of a corpse.
Right.
So it takes their look, their memories, their everything, and just sucks it into himself and then becomes that person.
Right. So the body he was inhabiting before disintegrates or ceases to exist
morphs anyway. Yeah.
What I mean is the new body is the ideal version of this new body plus the withered husk.
Yeah, that he's got to dispose.
Right. Yeah. So any one time, there's two bodies.
And he always has to get rid of a body I kind of looked at it like teleportation. If you look at the perceived science behind how that would actually work, is you'd either have to de-atomize somebody and send atoms through a pipeline and then re-atomize them on the other side, in which case they're not the same on the other end.
Right.
Or you'd have to make a copy into a blank body on the other end and leave the dead version of yourself on the first end. It's one of those two ways. So it's almost like he's teleporting somebody's consciousness and leaving a blank behind. But the blank is withered and rotted, and because it's a horror movie, it has that sort of, it's got to be a little grisly and a little audience pleasing.
You're the producer, right? As well as the
writer. One of the producers. Anyway.
So where did those shriveled corpses come from? How did you do it?
Oh, well, we had a really great effects team led by David Scott's company, Form and Dynamics, which I think they're called Doppelgang Form now, which is funny that they changed that after they made our movie. He did Jack Brooks' Monster Slayer. He did a lot of stuff on Silent Hill and the Dawn of the Dead remake.
But tell me what it is.
They do a head cast of the actors. Not all of the actors. We did maybe three or four of them. A few of them were just like,
that's right,
they were meant more for the background. So they were just roughed in. And then there were standing molds from bodies from past jobs that David had done. So he used the actor's head on an existing body and then painted it so that it would match the actor enough that it would be a double for anything that needed to be in close up or needed to be on screen at the same time as the actor. There's a couple, like, you didn't have to go through a head cast.
I didn't.
Which would have been a nightmare process anyway. He's got way too much facial hair to do it properly. But there was still like a bearded, long-haired body created that
did a great job.
That looked a lot like him, but it was sculpted instead of an actual copy with a head cast. So yeah, it was a long practical effects process. And the film is full of practical effects that we, took a more time than you normally would on an indie feature with next to no budget to do.
And finally, what did you learn on one of your first major acting roles? What enriched you or spoiled you killed you?
I've had the good fortune with the previous movie and with working with Justin on this one is to, work with younger people that are seasoned professionals. And it was a really kind of unique experience, relying on them to guide me through this whole process. And Laura Burke, I can't say enough good things about her. What an incredibly talented actress she was, very giving. We worked together on a lot of stuff, and Justin would come in, kind of put his two cents in, step back, kind of let us do our process. And I learned a lot about process, learned a lot about development, I learned a lot about just bringing something out in you that you didn't realize it was there. And fortunately, we had a great script to work with and, a patient director.
Oh, a good role in a fascinatingly creepy movie. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Thank
Justin,
you.
Jack. I've been talking with writer-director Justin McConnell and actor Jack Foley about their new film, Life Changer, which opens today in Toronto.
And Calgary and Ottawa.
This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.